Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The TalkSport Daily Podcast is proud to be in partnership with Enterprise Rent-A-Car. Whether your business needs cars, vans, or larger commercial vehicles, you can rent from the best lineup in the UK with Enterprise. And with flexible long-term rental, you can get vehicles for as long as you need them, from minutes to months. Whatever the mission, Enterprise's mobility experts can build a bespoke solution to suit your business needs. Visit enterprise.co.uk/business to find out more.
This is TalkSport Daily.
Hi, I'm Danny Kelly, and you're listening to the Danny Kelly TalkSport Daily podcast with me, Danny Kelly. Got it? Danny Kelly. On the show today, you'll hear from Tyson Fury on his switch to WWE, Unai Emery on Granit Xhaka gesturing at his own fans after he was substituted, and England's Elliot Daly on reaching the World Cup final after England famously tonked the All Blacks on Saturday. Now, to start off, here's the reaction from Arsenal fans on Simon Jordan's final word, also with me, Danny Kelly, to the Gunners' draw with Crystal Palace in a game that saw Granit Xhaka gesturing towards his own fans after the Arsenal captain was subbed off and subsequently walked straight down the tunnel.
To be quite frank, I think the buck starts with Unai Emery here. I think he doesn't know his best team. And to be quite honest, I think putting Xhaka in the firing line, knowing the reception he's been getting from fans, even deciding the players should pick him as captain, it makes no sense to me. And now, I'm Arsenal, I really think we're in a club in disarray. Like, our current captain, nobody wants to
Ricky,
part of the
can
squad.
I stop
the
you there? Can I stop him. You there? You're very interested. Come back in a second. We're now going back to the Emirates. We can hear the Moose has Unai Emery with him.
Good evening, Unai.
Good evening.
Several incidents. First of all, the goal that was disallowed for your winner by Sokratis, do you think it should have been a goal?
I haven't understood the decision about the VAR and from the referee. It's a goal, no fall. And they check it. But we received one penalty too. The last match here on Bournemouth to Pepe, very clear. Didn't check and not penalty. Okay, I respect. Last week on Monday, we received a very clear penalty to Sokratis when we were 0-0. And now it's very important if you can start winning or losing because the match has changed a lot. But we respect and we lost, okay. And this evening, we check it. The penalty, okay, is goal, we respect. The second half, we scored the third goal to win because we deserve it and we are getting chances. And they check it for one fall. It's not fall because I check it also. And
you've had a look yourself,
I think also I know something about the football. But okay, we respect. But I think this evening we deserve to win and in normal decision, we won that match.
I must ask you about your captain. We've had some people calling into TalkSport saying they're ashamed of his behaviour when he came off the pitch tonight. You decided to bring him off. He walked off slowly. He may or may not have abused or said some obscenities towards the crowd, we don't know, but he did take his shirt off. He didn't go and shake your hand. And he walked straight down the tunnel. What do you make of that?
He was wrong. But we are going to speak first with him and then inside with the club. But he was wrong.
Does he remain your captain?
We are going to speak about that with him also and to listen to him. But I think he's one moment very... He was very hot in that moment and his reaction is wrong. Was wrong.
Now on Saturday, Everton were beaten by Brighton. A lot of angry Toffees fans on the way back from the Amex Stadium had their say on game day. Your verdict with Darren Bent and Lindsay Hipgrave.
That VAR decision today, it just absolutely killed the game. Nobody in that whole ground knew what was going on. Do you know, everybody thought it was the lack of time or the time it was taken was because of a substitute. Then the next thing is the referees think it goes to his ear, and big letters on the screen, checking penalty. Everyone was gobsmacked.
Yeah.
Even the, you know, even everyone's looking at you, what's going on there? That killed the game. That's killing football.
Yeah.
It's absolutely obliterating football. And then I was listening to the game on TalkSport tonight, the Chelsea game and the Burnley game, and the penalty that was not given.
That was Hudson-Odoi given a card for diving in that situation.
He's given a penalty. The referees give a penalty because of what he's seen and what he's interpreted. Yeah? And he's given that penalty. Back in the day, that would have stood. Do you know what I mean? Referees had the final say. Today, it's the same thing today. The referee, he just put his fingers to it. Even he didn't know what was going on. He signalled for the substitution to go on.
I'm going to say something that's probably going to be hugely controversial, guys. I think Jordan Pickford is the most overrated keeper in the country, in the league.
I knew it was coming. Because I was just looking at the first goal today.
Tell us why, Matt. You're not the first person to have said that. As controversial as it might be.
Oh, it goes back to, for me, the ultimate calamity, and it was a comical calamity last year, was when he collided. He came out for a ball, and he had no reason to come out for a ball against your old team down in Tottenham.
Yeah.
And Kurt Zouma had it covered. I mean, we're talking 25 yards from the goal. He had it covered, and Jordan Pickford comes charging out on his line, collides with Kurt Zouma. Next thing you know, Son's gone in and put the ball in the back of the net. Now, my issue with Jordan Pickford is, as a shot stopper or as somebody who's stood there in front of a penalty taker, he's amongst the best in the league. But when it comes to switching on and concentrating, he flaps at high ball. He's terrible for that. I fundamentally believe that's why there's such a difficulty at Everton with set pieces, because they're so unsure at Jordan Pickford. And I think it is beginning to show in the England games, conceding 3 goals against Kosovo. What's all that about? I don't blame Michael Keane. Yes, he was at fault for one of the goals, but I really do think the centre halves that are playing in front of Jordan Pickford are hugely unsettled and massively negative towards their belief in his ability as somebody who can command a box.
Now over to the warm-up, or as it's known, Barry Glendening's warm-up and the inimitable Culverhouse game.
Big moment now for Martin in Northampton. Barry has got a 1-week ban for Culverhouse, and Martin was the first man to ring in to play. Martin, thanks for coming on. How are you feeling?
Well, it's both an honour and to step in for a man, a player of the class of Barry.
Yeah.
But, you know, trying not to feel the pressure.
Absolutely. I'm rooting for you, Martin.
In front of me.
Also, you know, Jeff Stelling bottled this, so you're essentially filling a role that Jeff Stelling couldn't face himself. So obviously that shows the character that you are, Martin.
Either foolish or brave, we'll see which.
I just want to be honest with you. Barry will referee, but I will take no prisoners. I've got to treat you with the respect, and I need to treat Culverhouse with the respect it deserves. You understand that?
Well, Culverhouse has to be the only winner. We have
the players. Okay, let's play. Okay.
But I really want you to be the winner as well, Martin.
okay. Here we go.
And I'm the referee.
Okay, let's go. John Harkes.
Vince Hilaire.
John Sieverbeck.
Gary Rowell.
Phil King.
John Judosi.
Lee Sinnott.
Darren Peacock.
Chris White.
Brian Steen.
Frank Yallop.
Keith Houchin.
Dave Bennett.
Wilf Rostron.
Ian Culverhouse.
You were doing so well,
but you just can't. I mean, there's just no place in the game for a Wilf Rostron. Martin, look, thanks for playing.
It was a pleasure to make the step up, but I'm sure Barry will be back in his seat and taking the game back to the level he deserves next week.
I won't lie, Martin. I was nodding along approvingly. Your Keith Houchin even got
I wasn't sure about Houchining at that stage of the game, if I'm really honest. But listen, you were reffing that game, and you know there's different interpretations, aren't there? So there we go. But look, thanks so much for stepping up, Martin. What you've proved, though, to play at this level, it takes a lot, doesn't it?
It's a huge, huge step up for a Sunday league player like myself.
Thank you, Martin. Appreciate it.
Brilliant.
Certainly better than Paddy the Villa fan.
Yeah, there was no shame in that.
No, he's better than Andy Jacobs, who has a life ban.
Over on Fight Night, Gareth A. Davis caught up with the lineal heavyweight champion of the world, Tyson Fury, and Tyson was his usual shy, retiring flower of a self.
Tyson, you've had an incredible few months. You've been seconded onto a new code, if you like. How are you figuring with it? Are you loving it or not?
I'm handling it quite well. The exchange of sports, I'm fitting in quite well. I'm a natural entertainer and a fast learner, so I've been getting the best out of it.
Projecting ahead, your eye looks amazing. Are you 100% looking at February the 22nd still to fight Deontay Wilder?
If I think Wilder wins and I don't get injured, then we're on for February 22nd.
Have you found it challenging learning the skills of pro wrestling?
Yes, I have found it challenging, but a challenge that I'm willing to take on. And a challenge that I'm willing to learn to get better.
Are you kind of the fact that you're doing this and not in the normal boxing training camp, has that been kind of an advantage for you in being able to step away from boxing training for a little
while? Yeah, it has taken my mind off boxing completely. Mm. I wouldn't be in training camp anyway, but it gives me something to do because I don't know, I've just been doing not much at home, really, to be fair. And I knew I had a long rest coming up in December. I won't be bothered, I won't be doing anything. So I didn't want to have October and November off as well, so I opted to do this because I knew it was going to be a month-long job and I could be busy for a month, and then I think I'm busy for the first half of November, and then as far as I know, hopefully, touch wood, I'm free after that.
When we last spoke, it was 7th of September, 8th of September, just before you were about to fight Otto Wallin. Did you have any idea at that point then, going into that fight week, that you might end up in the WWE as a showman?
Yeah, I only found out 2 weeks after I got back. And like I say, I found out on a Wednesday and I flew on a Thursday. Wow. So it was all very snappy and quick.
And did you literally have to make a decision there and then that were you going to do it or not?
Yes, I did. It was very, very quick.
No nerves involved in this? Or did you get nerves? Or
no, because I know if I have to, I can bring these out and do a lot of damage to whoever's in front of me.
And our guy Ben Davison, I'm surprised you haven't got him in there as one of your guys in the ring.
No, Ben, me and Ben haven't had any contact since the Wallin fight.
Yeah.
I just a quick message or whatever, but I'm letting Ben get on with his life and me the same. You know, we'll spend a lot of time together, so he deserves a well-earned break.
Because I did speak to him.
He doesn't need
to. He's coming to the Royal Rumble, though, isn't he?
I'm not sure.
He is. No, he told me he is.
I never spoke to him. This is how much I haven't spoke to him since.
So you've literally been under the radar doing
under the radar, minding my own business. I've spoke to a couple of the guys in the camp on a text message. That's it. I've not seen anybody. I've been away, haven't I? I was away training a friend of mine who was told he was going to have an heart attack any day if he didn't train. So I spent 2 weeks in a training camp with him immediately after I got back from Las Vegas, because I promised him before I went to Las Vegas that I'd train with him to get him back on track. So I did that, and then I flew away to America, and I've been there since the last 3 weeks.
You and I have known each other a really long time. I've known you through thin and thinner, and you know, I think we have a genuine friendship. And
we do.
Closeness.
We do.
And it's very rewarding for me to see you being able to put your personality and your character on a bigger stage now, which is a fun and entertainment stage. And because I know you, as you know, and it's you there in WWE. It's actually you.
It's actually the real me. And it's an exciting time for me. You know, I'm enjoying it and it's all new. And, you know, with every new relationship, it all goes really well at the beginning, and then it sort of fizzles out. But hopefully it won't go on that long, it won't fizzle out.
But we will have you back in boxing. They haven't stolen you from us forever, no?
No, you know, I've got this one-off fight, and never say never, but nothing planned for the future with wrestling. But don't hold your breath.
Now here's the best bits of Sunday Exclusive with Mark Saggers, Ray Houghton and Danny Mills.
We know how difficult, and the word you use, tough love, whether you're a parent, whether you're involved in any education and things, and the complexities of all of this as it is these days. One of the other things for me, though, shows how difficult it is at times for the young kids these days, that they are now embedded in these clubs from such a young age, when they also get to 17, 18, they might have got a pro contract, but then get released. A lot of them as well fall completely out of love with the game completely because they really thought they were going to make it. They're all dropping away from the game now, and it is causing another problem as such. I'm not talking about kids here who've been bullied or anything like that, but they come out of the game because they're totally disillusioned with it. So that is another part has to be sorted out.
You
with
lose
all
a couple of
this.
Years of education.
Yes.
And again, I know this.
Of course.
I've been through it. My son's now going through a similar sort of process. You know, you get to that sort of 14, 15-year-old period and say, right, okay, you're now, you know, you're at this club full-time. You know, you're working, you're training pretty much 5 days a week, playing games. That's what you do. You know, you get to scholar age where you do GCSEs, you leave school. Mm. You go to college 1 day a week, do a BTEC, which is
and
pretty,
then you get your first pro contract.
Well, that BTEC is pretty pointless. It's not. It's not really going to get you anywhere in life. It's almost. I still think it's almost a token gesture. But of course, at that point, no one in their right minds, you know, 14, 15, thinks, well, I'm going to focus solely on my education because it's you get one opportunity to be a footballer. You can't come back to it 3 years later. Education, you can maybe, and that's why it's difficult. But they believe so much. They've got a chance. They've got a chance. And then, of course, they don't, and then they are disheartened. It's heartbreaking. I've seen it myself.
But the percentage is so small.
Just from the outside looking in, I haven't got a child like Danny. I've not got a child like Danny that's going through the academy. But what I do see, Mark, we're the best players, young kids that are around, from the ages of 7 or 8, clubs are all over them. You're going to be a star of the future. You're going to be great. You're going to be brilliant. So these young kids from 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, all they get is promotion. Everyone's saying how good you are, you're brilliant, you're this. So there's never anything about this could go wrong. So then you get 14, 15, 16, and that's then you go into what you call the adult side of it. So you've gone as a young kid, as a prospect, you're now going in at 18, where you've now got to learn your trade properly, and then that's when you get some coaches, rightly or wrongly, telling you off. They've never had that before.
This is where there's a bit of a problem.
I understand this.
Because what happens is that they get smoke blown up, whatever, and they are told you're the best, you're brilliant, you're going to be the next this, you're going to be the next Ronaldo, you're going to be the next Harry Kane, whatever. So all these kids are told by agents, clubs, to get them to sign and get them to buy into the process, and the parents, they are told they are going to be the next superstar. Yeah, you're going to be the next superstar. All of a sudden, they join at 16, 17, when it starts to become serious, and actually, there's 11 of them in that squad. And all of a sudden, they're going, right, son, you need to run. Oh, no, I'm not doing that. No. And then you've got that issue where players can start to be a little bit disrespectful to the coach. So I do have equally have sympathy for coaches as well.
As long as they are adhering to the law of the land, that's simple. Yeah. But I do understand this because one of the other things, and this is perhaps a discussion for another day, not now, I want to go back to the Liberty Stadium, is though that a lot of these young players, they're told, as you said, by not just the family at times, but certainly by agents people who are looking after them, and they really are not getting an all-round level education. I'm talking here from, I know a lot of PE teachers who used to do this these jobs at the schools themselves when the kids stayed on till 17, 18 and then were developed. Some of them made it as a professional career after that. But under those systems, they were sat down and told, whether you call it tough love, but in the right way, what's expected of them to achieve what they want to do.
Yeah, but the other thing, Danny's saying there, you're a youngster coming through now, even at ages 10 or 11, you could be at the club for 5 days a week.
Yeah.
You know, so how does that affect your schooling? If you're thinking about, you're not thinking about your school and you're thinking, oh, I'm going to training tonight. I've got a game in this. So it can affect it in many ways.
It does affect.
So that's what I come back to. Is it right to take kids in at that age into your professional setup and take them away from the school? You've got to get that balance right. I say to kids, get the best education. We're never going to talk at school. Get the best education that you can because you don't know when a footballer, your career's going to end, when you're going to come out of it, and you need something to fall back on. And education's key to that.
You're listening to TalkSport Daily.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring.
At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
This episode of the TalkSport Daily is brought to you by Enterprise Rent-A-Car. Planning to hire or share a car or van? Enterprise is there every step of the way. Whenever and wherever you need a vehicle and whatever it's for, Enterprise can help. With over 450 locations across the UK, they're just around the corner. Whether you need a weekend rental, a holiday hire, a replacement car, or you're planning a business trip, home or away, Enterprise are there to help. To find out more and book, visit enterprise.co.uk.
And we can head over to Japan, where South Africa beat Wales narrowly in the Rugby World Cup semi-final. After the game, TalkSport's roving reporter in Yokohama, Ollie Hunter, spoke to an understandably despondent Jonathan Davis.
Jonathan, really, really tough defeat for you guys today.
Yeah, really tough. That's a good way of putting it.
How are you feeling?
Look, hurting. I think the boys put in a hell of a shift tonight and over the last few months and a couple of years, and we felt that we were right in the arm wrestle. We were in the test match, and credit to South Africa. They just got the result at the end.
It seems to be quite a struggle with the wind and the box kicking and collecting those high balls. Is that something that, looking back, really affected the outcome of the game?
I think it was just fine margins, little mistakes, probably giving South Africa territory and possession in the first half. But I think like games like that, lost on fine margins, and a few things didn't go our way, and we'll look to review that and dust ourselves off and come back next week in a good place.
16-0, did you think, with what, 5 minutes to go, do you think, right, we're back in this, we can do this?
We knew we were in this for the whole 80, we knew we were in the arm wrestle. It was just about making sure that we kept our discipline and we kept building on what we wanted to do, and it was just that probably last 5-10 minutes with a couple of errors, cost us the game.
And a word on the final, England versus South Africa, what do you think is going to happen?
I don't know. I think it's two very good teams going up against each other, and may the best team win.
Cheers, Jonathan.
Thank you.
And staying with the World Cup of Rugby, England's Elliot Daly also spoke to Ollie Hunter in Tokyo after that semi-final win over the mighty, mighty All Blacks.
Set out exactly what we wanted to do in the game and achieve what we wanted to do, so yeah, it's perfect.
And you had a perfect view of players like Manu and Mauro, those huge hits. It makes your life so much easier, right?
Yeah, I mean, defence wins big games, and today, like, the boys put it in again. All across the forwards, really, and all across the back line. We're physical around the pitch, and that's what we wanted to do from minute one, and I think we did that from minute one to minute 80.
How satisfying is it when what you've been working on for the last 2.5 years actually just comes to fruition and you put away a quality side?
Yeah, I mean, when we go into these big games, we speak about ourselves a lot, our process, what we want to get out of the game. And I think we came out firing in that first half and scored an early try, and then just tried to put them down there and win the territory battle. And I think we did that in the first half.
This week on Glory Hunters, team captain Will Meller was joined by German comic and Schalke fan Christian Schulte-Lowe, whilst Natalie Sawyer was alongside impressionist and Liverpool fan Darren Farley.
I'd like to hear Harry Kane.
Harry Kane, okay.
Yeah, obviously. It's been a great season. I think that obviously we need to score goals. That's important. But yeah, listen, we've got great players who can score goals as well. But it's not all down to me. We've got to see the other players who've got it. Yeah, obviously.
Is there anyone that you wish you could do, but just for some reason it's just not working?
Klopp. Yeah. But do you know what? I'll tell you one thing, right? When we had Rafa was Liverpool manager. Then it was Roy Hodgson was the Liverpool manager.
Do Roy. You must have a good Roy.
Well, of course, obviously, he's very good to play. We have to play a very good performance, but of course, we've got to play very well. I think we struggled. We struggled in one particular area today, the pitch, but you know, both of them. So, basically, what you do, because I'm a big Liverpool fan, when Brendan Rodgers had a bit of a dodgy period as the manager, I was doing quite a lot of content because you go with the story. And at the time, Liverpool were losing, even though you're a big Liverpool fan. But God, it was a bit of a backlash for me from my own fans.
Right.
But you can't be, you know what I mean? You can't. You've
got to tell the truth, I suppose.
Of course you have. Yeah.
You're not a club spokesperson.
No, you can't be biased. Sorry, is the word I'm looking for. And you know, at the time, so if I did do Klopp, there wouldn't really be much to go on, because the only time you've got comedy is when stuff's going wrong.
Yeah.
And with Jürgen Klopp, nothing's going wrong. It's all going great.
Yeah, the Glory Hunters podcast is available right now, as it is every Monday morning on Acast, Spotify and iTunes. And don't forget, it's QPR against Brentford in a West London derby in the Championship tonight from 7 o'clock on TalkSport 2. You've been listening to the Danny Kelly TalkSport Daily Podcast. That's the Danny Kelly TalkSport Daily Podcast. Make sure you click subscribe so this drops in your inbox every weekday morning. Thanks for listening, and may your God go with you.
That was a podcast from TalkSport.
The TalkSport Daily Podcast is proud to be in partnership with Enterprise Rent-A-Car. Whatever your mission, home or away, don't delay. Enterprise has the vehicle for the job. Rent from the best lineup in the UK. With over 450 branches, Enterprise has what your business needs. From compact three-door cars to spacious SUVs and people carriers to vans, they offer a large range of reliable vehicles perfect for the job. To find out more and book, visit enterprise.co.uk.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.